Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, as we were, after my wife had did announcements and we're, you know, worshiping God, the scripture came to me. It's Psalm 37, 25. You don't have to turn there, but just write it down. Look at it later. But I love it says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Praise the Lord. You know, the word righteous, and we've talked about this before, but the word righteous, it really, when you get down to it, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it means to think like God thinks. Amen? Praise. That's what righteousness is. It's thinking what God, like, the way God thinks. Because if you think the way God thinks, you will do what God wants you to do. Praise the Lord. You're not gonna go off and do your own thing. You're gonna follow His will. But you know, it takes that. The Bible says that you've never seen the righteous, the one who thinks like God, begging bread. Begging for bread, praise the Lord, or forsaken. You know, and that's something that we need to take heed to, because the Word gives us the instruction that if we endeavor to think like God thinks, praise God, He's going to be there for us. He's going to make sure He comes through, and that's when the promises of God are activated in our lives. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Tonight, I'm preaching a message called, What Are You in Pursuit Of? Praise the Lord. I hope you came expecting tonight. I hope you came hungry tonight. You know, I can sense a little bit that there's a little bit of maybe tiredness, but we're gonna break through that, and we're going to get stirred up and excited. Praise the Lord, because we want everything that God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What are you in pursuit of? This message is about consecration. Amen? I'm just going to throw it right out there in the beginning. You know, this was on my heart today, and as I sought the Lord, He really just brought it out. But I believe that God has a lot of things for us in this. Amen? And this is a problem. This is a place where many, many Christians lack. In fact, this is probably the place where most Christians, they get to the place where if they don't receive from God, or they don't see the things happening that they want or that they pray for, the reason is generally because of consecration, because of something like, you know, yes, the devil will oppose us and stuff like that. But we have to understand that if we follow the plan and purpose of God, if we do our best to stay in His will, if we seek after God with all of our hearts, the Bible has promised us, God Himself has promised us, we would always get through, we would always make it, and we would always have everything we need. He always promised us that we would come out shining like a new dime, that when we got on the other side of the trial, that it would always work in our favor. Praise the Lord. It would always, he said that for those who love God, it always works to their benefit. Amen? And Jesus said that if you love me, you'll do what I say. So we see that connection. We can't just say, well, we love God and not do what Jesus said, because if we do that, then we're not really loving God. God said the proof of your love is in your doing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't we know that's true for regular life? If somebody says they love you and they don't treat you right, you know they don't really love you. Amen? It's the same thing with God. He doesn't like lip service. He didn't care what you say. He doesn't care how many times you say it. What He cares is what you do. What He cares about is how you feel. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what are you in pursuit of? This is the place where our prayers are answered. Yeah. This message is what I'm talking about. This message is a place where of a perfected outcome. Amen. If you're seeking an outcome in your life, this message will help you get there. Amen. This will guarantee the other side of it. Amen. This is the place of abundant life that Jesus promised. You know, we see the Bible, Jesus promises abundant life, and then a lot of times what happens is Christians aren't walking in abundant life, and so they automatically start thinking, well, something's off. Maybe it's not God's will, blah, 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 blah. They start coming up with all these reasons for it, but they never look at themselves as possibly the reason. Now, listen, I am not somebody who wants to sit there and just tear everybody down and say that you're doing everything wrong, and the reason that you do things, or the fact that you do everything wrong is a reason why you have the life that you have, because that's not always the case. Amen. But the Bible does give us very clearly a direction of things that we have to do. And it tells us very clearly that if we don't hook up and connect to those things, we are not going to see the other side. He said, in fact, Jesus and the apostles were very clear about it, that we would not see the outcome that we desire if we don't follow the steps correctly, if we don't do the things as we should. And so we do see that there is a part of our walk of faith, there's a big part of it, that is completely and wholly dependent on what we do. In other words, it's completely and wholly dependent on you. What you see from God is dependent on you. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:32 that He gave us Jesus, so it proves that He'll give us all things. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. So he's given us these promises, but he's also said that you have to access them by faith. You receive the promises by faith and patience. That means continuing on in faith. Amen. And not stopping and not giving up partway through. This is the way we see the promises of God. There are times where the pressure is on. There's times where it's hard. But if we want to see the fruit, then we have to wait till the time of harvest. We can't stop halfway through and then expect to have the harvest. It just isn't going to happen. Amen. I love using this example, but in our area where we live, you know, they grow grapes. Praise the Lord, and grapes, when they're in season, are very, very good. Right now, I guarantee you, if you go out there and you look at the grapevines, you're probably going to see lots and lots of purple. But I also guarantee you that if you start plucking that purple and popping it in your mouth, it ain't going to taste so good. Why? Because the time of the season for them to be harvested is not yet. We still have another month or so or something like that, you know, and I may be off a little bit. But the idea is the same. You know, you can look at my daughter and I were on the four-wheeler, and we were riding around our property, and there's this one place we have an apple tree, and we come up to this apple tree, and I tugged on one of the apples. This was a week or so ago. I tugged on one of the apples. It wasn't coming off, and it was hard as a rock. So I knew the apple wasn't ready. Amen. You know, in the right season, that apple will be a blessing. That apple, those grapes will be a blessing to us. We'll enjoy them. It'll be something that we'll, you know, that people will, they'll spend all kinds of money and time to harvest them, and they'll put them on shelves and sell them, and everywhere you go, you'll be able to buy them, and people will want to buy them. But they wouldn't want to buy them if you harvested them now, because they're not ready. And the same thing is with us. And sometimes there's a season of waiting before we're perfected, before we can walk into the harvest. But when we do, it's promised that it's going to be a good harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to start in Hebrews 12:14. Praise the Lord. If we want to produce, if we want to be what God, if we want to walk in what God has for us, we have to be people of consecration. And we're going to find out about that tonight and what that means, I believe. Praise the Lord. It is so, so, so important. So Hebrews 12:14. You know, Hebrews 11, I love, you know, the Bible wasn't written haphazardly. How many know that? Yeah. It wasn't by accident. This is somebody didn't just come up with some ideas and put it together. But Hebrews 11 is all, we call it the great faith chapter. It's all about faith. It tells us how, what faith is and the importance of faith and what faith looks like. Praise the Lord. It gives us all of that. And right afterwards, we get into Hebrews 12, and then we start seeing some other aspects of it. Amen. And this in particular is what I want in verse 14, Hebrews 12:14. I wanted to start here. You know, look what Paul says, the Apostle Paul says. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hallelujah. Pursue peace with all people. That's a really important thing. You know, Jesus told us that the most important commandment was the commandment of love. Of walking, you know, we had to love one another. Love God is love God, right? But we also had to love one another. He put that right up there with it, the most important. So you can't be loving people if you're not in peace with them. And so, as much as it's up to us, the Bible tells us to follow peace. But more so, what I want to get into here is it says and holiness. And notice what it says after that: without which no one will see the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you aren't seeking peace and you aren't seeking holiness, you ain't going to see the Lord. That means you're not going to see him manifest. You're not going to see him answer. You're not going to see him show up when he needs him to. You're not going to see him come through when he said he would, because you're not doing the commandments of God. Holiness is so incredibly important. Now, peace, I'm not going to dwell on peace tonight, because peace is something that we should get, or we should understand. Holiness is something that we need to bring the church back to. Yeah. Holiness is a place that Christianity needs to come back to. Yeah. Holiness is important to God. Yeah. In fact, we won't see God without holiness. Right. Amen? Praise the Lord. Holiness, it means consecration, purification of heart and life. So consecration and purification of heart and life. Amen? Both of those, of heart and life. It means sanctification, or in other words, to be set apart. Amen? Hallelujah. consecration, purification of heart and life. Without these things, without consecration, without purification of your heart and your life, you're not going to see God. What are these things? Consecration is basically just giving your life over to God and saying, Lord, I trust you with it more than I trust me with it. I'm going to use what you've given me. I'm going to go with your word. I'm going to run with it. I want your plan more than I want my plan. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And purification, what does that mean? That means to live right. That means to be cleansed. Hallelujah. That means to not walk in the same old sins. You know, it's kind of a thing in the Christian world. It's kind of popular to get people to come in and to get them to accept Jesus, but then to kind of let them just continue to do everything that they always did. This is why people fail. This is why the church fails. It's because people don't learn to live right. Listen, we have to be a church that talks about sin. Sin is bad. Sin hurts us. It hurts other people. There are effects of sin that are negative that if you live in them so long, God cannot reverse them. I said God cannot reverse them. Sometimes the things that we do in sin, God cannot reverse because it gets to a point where it's too late. Amen. I have seen this, and I have seen this where sin had caused sickness in a body. I'm not saying all sickness that this is a case, but I've seen this before where sin has caused sickness in the body, and it got to the point where there could be no healing. That person could receive Jesus and go on and be with God in heaven, but there was going to be no healing here on the earth. Sometimes there are things, there are consequences to the things that we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that word holiness is also means sanctification or to set apart. It means to set apart is, you know, and really it gives us the idea of doing it like, you know, if you celebrate a holy holiday, and that's really kind of where the word comes from. Like when the Jews would celebrate a certain holiday, that they set it apart. It was different than the other days, and it was really special, and they would plan for it, and they would have special decorations for it, and they would spend a certain amount of time, and everybody would stop everything. You know, kind of like our holidays are supposed to be, or the idea of them. That's where we get, you know, the word holiday really comes from the word holy, or two words, holy day. Amen. That's where that word comes from. So we get that understanding, but it's a purposeful setting apart. Amen. It's purposely deciding, and not just deciding, but taking action to make sure that it's separate from the others. You know, that if you come into our church at Christmas time, you're going to know that it's not the same as the summertime. You're going to know that something's different. Why? Because people have brought in decorations and we've put them up and, you know, all these things. If you come to our house with the 15 different Christmas trees, Lord, how many we have? I don't know. We have a bunch of Christmas trees. But if you come into our house, you'll see that it's set apart. There's something different. We're trying to portray something. And that's the same word. That's what sanctification is. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All this wrapped up in holiness. Praise God. And what does God want us to set apart? One of the things he wants us to set apart is our heart. Have you set your heart apart for God? His will is another thing that he wants, that we need to set apart. Have we set God's will, is it set apart for us? Have we put that aside and said, you know what, this is important to me, so I'm going to make this something in my life, amen? I'm going to make this something that I'm striving for, praise the Lord. If you are still consulting your feelings to determine your path in anything, you are not consecrated. If you go to your feelings every time you decide whether or not you should go to church, you're not consecrated. If you go to your feelings every time you decide whether or not you go to this church or that church, you're not consecrated. If you go to your feelings every time you know to serve God, or you know that this is what God has called you to do, if you go to your feelings every single time and consult them, you're not consecrated. Consecration does not to God does not consult your own feelings. It doesn't consult yourself or what you want. It always consults what God wants. Lord, where do you have me? What do you have me to do? You know, sometimes the plan of God isn't always easy to walk through. Sometimes the plan of God isn't, and the flesh is what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's resistance. Sometimes there's things that come against us to get us there. But we still must do things right, praise the Lord. You know, if you're getting into a relationship, does this relationship bless the Lord? You need to, if not, you're not consecrated to God. If you don't ask yourself this, you're not consecrated to God. What would God approve of this? Does God really want me to have it? Just because something shows up and looks good on the surface doesn't mean God wants you to have it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've seen people take jobs that take them out of church. It's not God's will.
Right.
Said it's not God's will. Yeah. He would never do that. God would not bless you with that to remove from you. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand that. But the problem is so many people, so many Christians are making decisions just solely based on their desires or their whims or their wills. And then they wonder why things are always kind of chaotic. Because you know what? Your tastes are going to change. Sometimes your desires are going to change. Praise the Lord. Some days you might like the color blue and the next day you might like the color purple. That's just the way it is. If somebody asks you what's your favorite food today, well, it just depends on what you're in the mood for, isn't it? One day it might be pasta, one day it might be sushi. Praise the Lord. But see, that's the way humans are. We're fickle in our emotions. Like, one day, you know, there's times, there's lots of food. I like food. Praise the Lord. I just like food. So we're just going to run with that. I just love food, all kinds of food. But my wife will often ask me, she's like, what do you want to eat? If we're going to a restaurant, what do you want to eat? We're away somewhere, we're looking for food. She's like, what do you want to eat? I consult my feelings. What do I feel like that day? You know, I love Chinese food. Some days I don't want Chinese food. Right? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I just want a sandwich and soup. Glory to God. You don't get that at Chinese restaurants. At least not good ones, generally. Amen. There's days I want Mexican. Amen. There's days I don't want Mexican. I consult my feelings. I ain't got to pray about it. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to get before the Lord and consecrate every single meal and say, Lord, what would you have me to eat at this meal? That's not what he's talking about. But he's consulting God for our lives, you know. But see, the problem is a lot of people, they consecrate themselves to God the same way they consecrate themselves to food. They're as faithful to God as they are the Chinese restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, when one of the things I love about Chinese buffets is when one opens up, everybody's going to it. Yeah. You can't even get a spot, right? Yeah. You can't get there. Amen? Can you go there in a year from now and it's empty? Every single time it's the same thing. A year from now, they're empty. They do a lot of business at first, and then within a year, they're empty. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because people are fickle. Another one will open up and everybody will get excited about it. But see, people use that same mentality, that have it your way mentality. That's why these fast food joints, that's why they do so well. Because you can go and you can order it and you can get it the way you want it. If you don't want pickles on it, then don't have it with pickles. Praise the Lord. If you want it with cheese, get it with cheese. If you don't. Praise the Lord. If you want a burger and chicken on top, they probably do it for you. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is people try to make the church the same thing. God's word and God's will has never been the same as a drive-through Burger King. It's not. We don't have church our way. We don't do God's will our way. We don't set things up. Jesus told us how people were going to worship. He didn't say we're going to worship any way we want to worship. He didn't say we're going to worship the way we feel we want to worship. Oh, but you know what's funny is I've talked to people over the years, and I'm talking about Christians here. I'm talking to Christians as a person who's been talking to Christians. And as I've talked to Christians over the years, well, you just worship the way you got to worship. And I've seen people write stuff like that. It's not about you, because who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping you? No, I'm serious here. This is where a lot of people are getting stuck, because they're saying you worship the way you want to worship. Well, listen, if you're going to bring me something, if you're going to bless me with something, if you want to bless me with a present, which you do, I know, praise God. Just kidding. But if you wanted to bless me with a present, and you know, say you wanted to bless me with bread, amen?
Yeah.
What's that bread with the little nasty seeds in it that I hate? Caraway seeds, right? Okay. If you wanted to bless me with bread, and you came up and you said, well, Pastor Jeff, I know you don't like this kind of, why are we using so much food tonight? Probably because I'm hungry, I don't know. But you know, you walk up to me and say, I want to bless you with bread. And you're like, what's your favorite kind of bread? And I'd be like, man, I would like a good fresh loaf of Italian bread. Or maybe my mom's oatmeal bread or something like that. And then you showed up to my house. You said, I'm going to be there tomorrow with bread for you, praise the Lord. And you showed up and you had a loaf of caraway seed bread, rye bread, and you just loaded it with them nasty, nasty seeds. I don't know why anybody can even eat one or why they would eat one, but you just loaded it with those seeds. He said, I put extra caraway in it just for you, Pastor Jeff. Well, it wouldn't bless me, would it? When you wouldn't expect it would bless me, would it? But you know, that's the way a lot of people are with God. God said to worship me this way, and yet people are bringing their own worship to God, and they're saying, and they're trying to convince God that he likes it. No, you like this bread. You like them nasty seeds. See, that's what it is when we do things our way with God, is that we're bringing Him, when we try to live our lives the way we want to live them. Listen, we have to get over this idea that God wants us to live some kind of life that doesn't make us happy, that separates us from this joy thing. The whole purpose of God and what He's done for us is to bring us true joy. Amen? God wants us blessed. He wants us happy. So if God tells us something to do, even if we don't think we'd like it, the truth is, in the end, we'll be happier than we could ever be. God wants to lead us into joy. That's what God wants to do. But it takes consecration. It takes dedication to God. It says, you know what? I'm giving myself over. I'm stopping doing what I wanted to do, and I'm focusing on you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you set apart your heart for God? Have you set apart your life for God? You know, this is something that we all need to do. Praise God. I do it continually. I didn't just do it once. I do it all the time. Amen. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways. How many of your ways? All your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Praise the Lord. Now, this when it says this in all your ways, it doesn't mean that when you tie your shoes, you have to acknowledge Him. That's taking Scripture out of context and saying what it doesn't say. What God is saying is that when you do things, when you make decisions, when you're going through life, when you're doing things that are important, you need to seek God. You need to put God first. You need to acknowledge God. Say, Lord, I want to do this or that, but I know that You have a perfect plan and will for me. So what is Your perfect plan? Is this in that perfect plan and will? What a lot of Christians end up doing is they're saying, well, Lord, they come to God, they're like, Lord, this is what I want to do. Will You bless it? And then God doesn't bless it, and they're going to do it anyways because, you know, they just wanted to do it. Praise the Lord. And then they start telling people that, you know, well, God, that doesn't really mean that. But see, God wants you to figure out what He wants you to do. And He's given us a very easy way to do that. He's put His Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I know we're about to start Tuesday nights back up in Mayville. We're going to be doing Tuesday night services. And the Lord has directed me to do some messages preaching on the Holy Ghost and the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Because so much of the church don't understand what this Holy Ghost is all about. And He's on the inside of us trying to lead us and guide us into the truth. And the whole time people are like, oh, I don't know what to do. Looking around, Christians are goofy and lost. And it's because they're not seeking the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Praise the Lord. You know, it matters so much to God. It should matter so much to us that we need to acknowledge God in what we do. When I sat down to prepare this message, I got before the Lord, and I said the same thing I always say to Him. Lord, what do You want me to tell Your people? What do You want me to tell Your people? Yeah. I always seek God and say, Lord, what do You want me to say? Yeah. There's lots of things I wanted to preach. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I hear things throughout the week, and I'm like, oh, man, that would be awesome to preach. I want to preach on that. And then I hear something else. Oh, that's awesome, and I'd like to preach on that. And then sometimes I get mad, and I'm like, I don't want to preach on that. You know what I mean? But the Lord, what does the Lord want me to preach? See, I have to consecrate my life to Him to allow Him to bring out the message that He wants to preach. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, are You sure? Do You really want me to preach that? Do You really want me to go down that road? But, you know, I always endeavor to do that. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. See, this is a matter of a fact. This is something that we've been given. This is something that we can know, that we can be assured of. If He said to acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths, that means if we acknowledge Him, guess what He's going to do? He's going to direct our paths. Amen. But now if it's God, He's going to direct them according to the Word. He will never direct them aside from the Word. So when He's given us principles in the Word, He will direct us that way. Now, this is something else to understand about God. This is understand about the Word. If we have clear revelation of something, God probably isn't going to give us specific leading on it. And this is a little side journey, but I'm going to take it because I just sensed that I needed to. But, you know, there'll be times where people will be like, well, I want to pray about that. Maybe it's about serving. Well, I know You asked me to serve, and I haven't been serving, but I need to pray about that. Well, the Word clearly tells us that we need to serve. Yeah. And so if we're not serving, we're out of the will. You don't have to pray about it. God ain't ever going to answer you on it. You pray about tithing. People are like, I pray whether I should tithe or not. The Word's clear about tithing, about giving, about being generous, about using faith, about speaking. speaking right. Praise the Lord. All these things. The word is clear. You don't have to pray about things that are clearly written. I said you don't have to pray about things that are clearly written. In fact, you shouldn't pray about things that are clearly written, because you're probably, if you hear something, it probably isn't going to be from God at all. A lot of people don't realize that. The Bible tells us to test the spirits. Most Christians don't even know there are spirits. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit if you mention them, much less any other spirits. Yeah, absolutely. I've known Christians that are afraid of demons and everything else. It's like, duh. You have no real. You have no idea who you are. You're not supposed to be afraid of any of that stuff. But the Bible says to test the spirits. It wouldn't tell us to test them if we didn't need to test them. If we didn't need to test the spirits, it wouldn't tell us to test them. We need to test them. Why? Because the Bible says so. Praise the Lord. That means that everything you hear in your spirit or everything you think you're picking up spiritually might not be God. Oh, that's something. Listen, it ain't all about you. Maybe everything that you think isn't right. Sometimes we need to know that. As Christians, we need to understand that everything I think is not right. Everything that comes to me is not right. Every dream I have, it's not necessarily of God. Every, you know, and there's people that try to do that. They try to get into all this uber interpretation of dreams and all this. Listen, if God gives you a dream that he wants you to know, he's going to interpret. He's going to give you a way to understand it. You don't need all. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. God ain't trying to confuse us and make it harder. A lot of people think that they're supposed to live their lives just like trying to figure out what life is all about. A lot of people just live that way. The foolishness in that is that God has told us what life is all about, told us what we need to do. People are spending all this time, wasting time that they could be getting people saved or building the kingdom of God or doing the things that will bring God back. Praise the Lord. Christ's return, you know, the ushers all that in, and all the time people are distracted with things that don't mean anything. They're sitting in the woods thinking about their belly button, and they're wondering why they're not changing the world. They're writing poems about earwax and stuff like that. They're sitting around thinking about all kinds of deep and wonderful things, but they're not getting to the heart of what God wants for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has given us a word to give us a direction. Hallelujah. And we need to consecrate ourselves to it. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3. Verse 1, we're going to read through verse 6, amen? Look what it says here, Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Stop thinking about the things down here. Stop thinking about everything that's going on. Stop concentrating on all the problems, all the issues, everything that's going on in the world. Stop it. Yeah. Seek those things which are above. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. Set your mind there. You know, I think about concrete. When concrete is not set, it's very movable, right? It can move here or there. You can mold it. You can form it. You can make sculptures out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. Once concrete is set, you're not moving it anywhere. You'd be hard-pressed to do anything with it. Why? Because it's set. That's the same thing that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to set our minds on the things above, not the things of the earth. We are not supposed to be distracted. Listen, we have to live in this world. We have to live on this earth. God wants us to live here. He wants us to be blessed here. It does not mean that you can't ever enjoy something in life. There's some Christians that will take this to that extreme, and they'll say, nope, God doesn't ever want you to enjoy things in life. He doesn't want you to. God cares about vacations. Yeah. If you're a family that doesn't go on vacations, I'm just going to tell you, God cares about it. Yeah. You need to get in his plan. He'll show you how. God cares about downtime and rest time. How do we know? Because Jesus took his disciples aside and said, you know what? You've been doing the work of the Lord. We need to set aside. The problem is most people don't have the problem with doing the work of the Lord so much that they get tired out and wore down. Most people have the problem that they're doing everything else and not doing anything for God. And then, you know, they're like trying to fill God in between. That is not the life of a Christian. A Christian who has been, they're supposed to, listen, if you were raised with Christ, has anybody been raised with Christ? Amen. I think that's every Christian, right? Is that's not just pastors, right? We're just not pastors, we're raised. I know we're pretty high and lofty, praise the Lord. But it wasn't just pastors or the deacons or you know the Sunday school teachers or the youth group leaders. They're not the only ones that was raised, right? It was everybody with Christ, right? So everybody who's been raised with Christ, set your minds on the things of heaven and not of earth. Praise the Lord. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This again, you know, we teach about baptism. We just had a baptism last week. Why do we baptize? It's showing that you died and been raised again with Christ. Hallelujah. You've been raised. Everybody say, I've been raised. Glory to God. See, you've been raised into something better. Praise the Lord. But there's some expectation with that. Glory to God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, that's sex without marriage, praise the Lord, fornication, uncleanness, praise God, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I love that it says that. I kind of got into this today. I was studying this out. Let me finish it first. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, covet is to desire something that's not yours. That's what it is. Do you know that God will show you, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth? What is truth? Truth is the knowledge of something that's true, right? Truth would tell you that this is yours and that's not yours. You know, a lot of people don't know how to be led, and that's why a lot of people don't know what belongs to them. They don't know what belongs to them, good or bad. And so people are holding on to things that don't belong to them. Listen, it may be a relationship you're holding on to that's no good for you. That's called idolatry because it's covetousness. Covetousness is also when you look at somebody else's, you know, spouse and you want it, or somebody else's donkey, as it said in the Old Testament. I mean, not many people want somebody else's donkey today, but there's still people who might want someone else's donkey, amen. Want somebody else's dog or want some whatever, you know, their house, their cars. That's all covetousness also. But covetousness is also just, it's basically just wanting things that don't belong to you. Amen. You need to seek God to find out what things are yours. He'll show you what spouse is yours. He'll show you what house is yours. He'll show you what mouse is yours. Amen. He'll show you what belongs to you. Amen. God will tell you to do things. Praise the Lord. I wasn't planning on buying a new truck when I got the one I'm driving now. I had no plan on buying a new one. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke on the inside of me and told me that it was time. Well, who am I to argue? Praise the Lord. No, I'm just, I actually saw other people's opinions to make sure that it was, you know, that it was right and good for the time. But you know, my point is that God will show us what's ours, and when we walk in that, it'll bless us no matter what it is. Because how many of you have ever bought a vehicle that you shouldn't have bought?
Yeah.
I've done that, amen. And got you in a bunch of trouble, amen. You couldn't afford it. Have you ever had that problem? Have you ever got into a credit card debt maybe because it was buying things that you shouldn't have bought? Seek peace. You know, the Bible tells us to seek peace and pursue it. You know, that's all those things, being led by the Spirit of God. If we're led by the Spirit of God, we won't make dumb decisions. We won't make mistakes like that. I just said we won't. Because the Holy Spirit won't allow you to if you're following the Spirit of God. And if you aren't following this, if you're following the Spirit and it doesn't work out, it means it wasn't the Spirit of God. You need to test the spirits. Amen. Praise God. But these things here all revolve around things that will draw us away, passions, evil desire. Evil desire isn't necessarily, ooh, I just want to, you know, I want to go kick puppies or something like that. You know, that would be an evil desire to go kick puppies, just letting you know. I'm not excluding that, but it doesn't mean that it has to be kicking puppies to be an evil desire. An evil desire is desiring something that's not right. Amen. If I desire to look at images that aren't right on the computer, that's an evil desire. If I desire to eat things that I know that I shouldn't, that's an evil desire. If I, well, praise God, hallelujah. So we understand this. So all these things, and they can be wrapped up in this, that they get into covetousness, which the Bible says is idolatry, which is the same as worshiping idols. You know, we're, the Bible tells us, you know, that we are to love God and to love Him first and foremost. And the Bible talks about idol worship and what that is, you know, where it's putting things above these idols. They would put these idols above God. But the Bible tells us here that covetousness is idol worship. It's idolatry. So when you into idol worship, when you're getting into covetousness, when you're desiring things that don't belong to you, when you're getting into things that you shouldn't touch, when you're doing things that you know you shouldn't do, what you're doing is your idol worship. You're forsaking God for idols. You're saying these things are more important to you because I don't trust your word. I trust what I feel instead. And this is where Christians stumble. This is why Christians get tripped up, because, you know, the Bible says you don't get into wrong relationships, and yet people do. Well, I prayed about it. You don't need to pray about it. The Bible says no. If they're not serving God, or if they're wanting to do things that aren't right in a relationship, that's not of God. God will not direct somebody, two people, to be together. And see, what happens is people follow these leadings. They follow these leadings into things that cause them trouble, and the whole time it wasn't what God had for them. And they think that they heard from God, but they didn't, because it went against what the Word said. They coveted things that didn't belong to them. They wanted things that weren't theirs. Amen? It matters what you do and what you believe. Praise the Lord. I don't know. That was way better. That was way, way, way better than I got credit for. Amen? Hallelujah. I was preaching way better than you were. Amen. And that's the phrase. Now, I understand. I didn't get all that. The Lord just downloaded that to me. But praise God for it. You know, it's the truth. We need to be people that are consecrated to God. Listen, if it's not right, it's not right. I'm going to say this again. If there is a relationship, I don't know why God's had me on this, but there's reasons for it. If there are things that draw you away from God, or things where people are trying to do things opposite of what God said, it is not of God. It is not of God. It is not of God. And what the end of it is, the end of these things is death, the Bible tells us. It will be death in whatever area you're looking at, but that's exactly what happens. Praise God. Consecration is why Christians don't see the power of God. It's why the churches are not seeing the power of God, because Christians are living just like the world lives. If we look, listen, if the church of God looks like the world, it stopped being part of God. That's when people stopped looking at God and started setting their minds on the things of the earth. And that's why you see the world creeping into churches, because people are too consumed with what's happening here. It's got to look like this, because this is what the world does. Or how are you going to reach these? This is how you reach people. You preach the word, you tell them the truth, and some people will come and stay, and some people won't. Most people won't. That the Bible tells us that. You don't need to know how to build your church. The Bible said that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. He adds to the church. He's the one that brings the increase. Praise the Lord. We're just laborers. That's all we do. We're not told, listen, if you are called to be in a church and the church is 10 people and that's all you ever have, but you know you're in the will of God and you're doing everything you know to follow the Spirit of God and you're in the Word of God, it doesn't matter that it's 10 people. It doesn't matter. But if God wants it to be 2,000, 10,000 people, it doesn't matter. You know, praise God. Yeah. I'm just going to say this. I don't believe that, I don't believe, well, praise God, hallelujah. I'm not going to go there. First, turn with me to 1 John. Praise the Lord. 1 John 3. I just sensed that what I was about to say could have been more out of opinion than the Word of God, and so I wanted to keep it there. Amen. Amen. 1 John 3, again, verse 1. Praise the Lord. We'll read through verse 10. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. That's a pretty big statement right there. He's like, wow. I mean, he's just thinking, wow, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Hallelujah. What did we ever do? We need to sit around as Christians. We need to sit around and think about this once in a while. Why would God want to make me His child? You know why it's saying that? Because being a child of God looks like something different than what people understand. See, a lot of people today don't understand a good father-son relationship because we don't have a lot of them. They don't understand what it's supposed to look like. But a father takes care of the child. There's an inheritance. The Bible says that a good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. Yeah. His children's children. Yeah. Hallelujah. That means a good man has lived his life in such a way before God that he was able to produce enough that his children's children are still having benefit from it. Amen. Praise the Lord. His grandchildren are grand, but see, you don't see this anymore. But that's our God. And he said, behold, praise the Lord, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Yes. We're not even the children's children. We're the children of God. We got direct access. We're right there. We get everything the Father has. We live in the house, glory to God. We get, you know, Daddy brings home the paycheck. We're there eating the fruit of it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it means. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I don't know why people don't get more excited about this. That's what it means. It means that God, everything. He said, you know, the Bible tells us he's prepared a table in the midst of our enemies. It means he's taking care of us. I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Or forsaken or begging bread, praise the Lord. What is this? This is what God has done for us. This is how he set us up. And everything that that entails, this is good stuff, amen? Praise the Lord. That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So if the world doesn't know us, it's because it doesn't know him. What does that tell us? The world, let's look at this again. Therefore, the world does not know us. They do not know us because, as a cause, because it didn't know him. So that means something, doesn't it? That means that the children should look like the Father. You know, for the most part, people look at my kids and they don't doubt that they're my kids. It's pretty obvious that they're my kids. Amen. You know, you can look at your kids. I used to love when I was a kid. I'd look at my pinky nail. And this is funny. I know this is gonna be funny, but my pinky nail. It's a little bit fatter, but it's the same pinky nail that my grandma has on my dad's side. I just think that's neat. I look like her. You know what I'm saying? There's resemblance. Maybe we don't look a lot like in the face or whatever, but we got the same pinkies, and that's pretty undeniable. Amen. You know what I'm saying? There's traits that are passed down, but there's things we look like our family. Listen, that's what the Bible is saying. The world doesn't know us because we look like our Father. We don't look like the world. But see, the problem in the church is the church looks like the world, and so it doesn't know God. And that's why when people like me preach the word, the truth, the church doesn't accept it. There's a lot of people in the church that are like, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to hear that. That's because you don't know, because you're not of your Father. You are of your Father, but your Father's the devil, just as Jesus said. Yeah, if you're not following God, you're following the devil. There's no in between. There isn't all kind of following God, kind of following. No, you're following one or the other. Bible's clear on that. Amen. I'm not saying all those people are bad. What I am saying is that people need to wake up and realize who they are and start changing their look. Amen. They need to start growing some things out to start looking like their God. Amen. Because the church should not look like the... I think that's clear. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a fool. Praise the Lord, but I'll be a fool. Praise God. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know... Oh, I love this. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm going to pause there. And the reason I'm going to pause there... It's because I started getting some revelation this afternoon of some things that I didn't really get before. You know, God doesn't just all of a sudden poof up into there something is. Yeah. You know, everything the Bible tells us that we can understand God through creation. And so as we watch creation, we can see. And one of the things we see about creation, this is a very important principle to God, is a thing called growth. Amen. When you see a sapling popping up out of the ground, someday that sapling, if it's the right kind, will be a magnificent tree. Amen. And it will grow, and at different stages, it looks like different things. But there's something happening. There's a process. There's a change all the way through. Amen. Now, you don't know exactly what that tree is going to look like at the very end. You don't know when you first see it. If you'd never seen a redwood before, and you saw a little redwood sapling popping up, you would only know that it's that's what it is. You wouldn't understand the fullness of what that tree could be. Right. But the truth is the fullness of that tree will be revealed, right? At some point down the road. And each step through the process, you see a little bit more. Oh, I didn't know it was going to get branches that look like this. I didn't know the bark was going to get this thick, or it was going to curl like this, or whatever. You understand? So there's a process, and this is the way it is through everything. Yep. Do you look the same as you did when you were one? No. Do you look the same as you did when you were 10? Do you look the same as you did when you were 20 if you're older than 20? Praise the Lord. Listen, when you're 80, you're not going to look like you did when you were 40. Amen? That's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. I'm going glory to glory, so I'm just believing I'll look better. Amen? But you can all come with me. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible says glory to glory, so that means as we get older, we should look better. Amen? So I'm just going to say older is better, and now I look better than I did when I was 20. I'm just a little bit thicker than I was. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I'll just bring up the scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So stay there, but just look at the scripture up here. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, right? From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." Why am I saying all this? Because in verse 2 here, it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." So we don't fully know what the end is going to look like. The point I'm trying to make to you is there is a process of time between now and then, and there should be change. There should be things that look different. There should be growth. There should be more of a knowledge of what we are going to be today than there was when we started before. And see, as you come into as you start going through your life, as you go through your Christian walk, there should be a greater consecration today than there was 5 years ago when you started. There should be a greater consecration 10 years from now. You see, each step of the way, there should be something added to it, something new. We should look different. We should look like we're growing, not staying the same. Because God said things that don't grow get cut off and burned. That's what the Lord says. So we understand that even though we are not at that place where we are full yet or complete, we should be in a process of time going there, amen? That process of time is only going to happen through our consecration. When we say, "Lord, I'm sold out to what you're doing. I'm sold out to your will. I'm sold out to your way. I'm following you. I'm going into all that you have, no matter what it looks like. I'm not going to let the fences keep me back. I'm not going to let other people keep me back. I'm just going to keep pressing on and know that next year is going to be different than this year. The year after that's going to be different than that year." And so on and so on. We go from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Glory to glory is a step process. One step of glory to another step of glory. It's a wonderful thing. We're growing into the things of God. Amen. Don't you know more today than you did 20 years ago? I mean, I would never, I always say this, I would not want to go back and live my son's life. In my 20s, you know, he's at 21. Praise the Lord. Not drinking, praise God, hallelujah. At 21, still hadn't touched that garbage, but you know he's growing and he's learning things. So I don't want to. I love that I already know him. You know, we've worked together on some things, and every once in a while I have to bring out some just knowledge, and I think he appreciates it. Praise the Lord. But you know what I mean? He'll say, "Well, I want to do this," and I'm like, "Well, think about it from this standpoint." And not every time I'm right, but I'm saying that there's a lot of things that I can add because I've got knowledge and wisdom in areas that he doesn't have. And that's why I also glean off people that are older than me, because they'll have knowledge and wisdom that I don't have. Amen. But you know, so there's a process of time. We should look different, but it only comes through consecration. For consecrating ourselves and saying, "Lord, I'm going to follow your plan," because if we're following our own plans, we can't grow the way the Lord intended us to. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we can continue on with the regular scheduled programming. "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he," God, "is pure." So we see this, God is not purifying us, we are purifying ourselves. We are taking our steps. This is right back to that same place of consecration and dedication and purification. This is what we're doing, this is what God is desiring us to do. We have to start purifying. We have to be the ones, amen? Praise the Lord, because God is pure. Going on, it says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin." Yeah. See, this is pleading a pretty good case right here, isn't it? Yeah. "Whoever abides in him does not sin." That does not mean that the things you do aren't sin. It means if you abide in him, you ain't going to sin, because you're abiding in him and you recognize you won't let you sin. Yeah. Listen, I can't cheat on my wife. I'm just telling you right now. Why? Because I abide in him. It isn't even because I love her so much. It is because I love her. But you know, that isn't even the fullness of it. I serve God because I abide in him. Why do I not sin? Because I abide in him. In areas where I do sin and miss it, it's because I haven't abided in him in that area. I haven't consecrated that area to him. And the same thing is with you. Some people have more areas of unconsecration than others, amen? And so we need to work at being perfected. Listen, you don't have to get down if you've been bad in every area. Well, praise the Lord, you can just step up and go to a better next thing, you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, hallelujah, that's where we are. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. This is important. Don't be deceived by this garbage teaching that's out there. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness, thinking like God, is righteous, just as he is righteous. Who is righteous? The one who practices righteousness. Not the one who thinks, oh, this would be righteous or this would be good. Not the one who thinks they love God, but he who practices righteousness. He who practices. When you practice something, what are you doing? You are doing. It's something that you make a habit of doing. Amen? Practicing righteousness doesn't happen by accident. It's something that you purpose to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you practice working out, it's something that you do. If you put that to practice where it's benefiting you, it's something you do on a continual basis. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Where was he? Oh, yeah. Verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so we understand this, that we don't, we are not of God if we are continually, purposely living, if we are practicing this sin, this unrighteousness. We're not. We're separating ourselves from God. And if we're separating ourselves from God, we're separating ourselves from the promises of God. We separate ourselves from the healing of God. We separate ourselves from the blessing of God. Because if we separate ourselves from God, we don't get anything that God has. Praise the Lord. You remember the prodigal son went out into the world? And when he was out into the world, he didn't benefit from the Father anymore. Amen? In fact, he got to the place where he had no benefits from the Father. When did he benefit from his Father? When he came back. Amen? And it's the same thing with us. Praise the Lord. There's a reason Jesus gave us that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what is sin? James 4:17. Go ahead and flip there real quick. Praise God. Yes, he is. The word is so good. Amen? I hope you're getting something here tonight. James 4:17. What is sin? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Praise God. In the Amplified, I love the way it says in the Amplified. It's very similar, but just a little twist on it, but I love it. It says, so any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. We have to understand that there is a written law that tells us what sin is. Obviously, like we read, you know, fornication is sin. Adultery is sin. Drunkenness is sin. Stealing, thievery, it's sin. Lying, it's sin. All these things are sin, right? We know that. But also on top of that, any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. That does not just mean that you know what's right to do in the Bible. What does the Spirit say in your heart? Spirit in your heart. The Spirit. I have had people tell me over the years. I've had people, so many people tell me, Lord has called me. I know. He's spoken to my heart, called me to your church. And then they leave. Or they start thinking about leaving. What is that? It's sin. Because you know what's right. I didn't call you into the church. I didn't come pick any of you up today and say, you got to be here, did I? None of you. I didn't go get anybody. I didn't draw anybody in by my own ability or my own charisma or my own good look or any of that stuff. Praise the Lord. I don't create my church. I mean, in the sense I do, in the sense I follow God, but it's not by my power that things happen. When I lay hands on people, it isn't my power that heals them. It's God's power that heals them. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we understand that when you know to do right and you don't do it, when God has directed you on something, and it's like, you know, there's people that God told me to marry so-and-so, and then they get married, and a couple years down the road, I don't know if God told me that anymore. Well, either he did or he didn't, but you got to know, amen? And this is why it's important to understand the way God works and to know, amen? Praise the Lord. So there is a written knowledge of sin, and there is their conscience, people's conscience. Can you do that in good conscience? You know, some people can't eat certain things in good conscience. And so you don't. You don't eat them, because if you do, it's sin. It becomes sin, amen? Acts 24:16 says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Offense is obviously it's causing something coming against something, amen. And so he's saying that he strives to always have a conscience clear of offense against God and man. So we strive. He says, I strive. I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense. I'm not going to. My conscience is going to be clear. That's what he's saying. When I do things, your conscience has got to be clear. But it's not going to be clear if you are disobeying the word, and then you say, well, my conscience is clear, and that's because you've been disobeying the word and you've calloused yourself against it. Yeah. You can't disobey the word of God and then expect your conscience is going to be clear. It'll never be clear, because the word of God is what gives us our justification that we are saved, right. That we are righteous, and God said, this is our justification. Yeah. This is the letter, amen? This is the document. This is the title. This is the thing that says you are right before God. How would we know God unless it had been preached to us? Right? We wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know about God. We wouldn't know about the things of God unless they'd been preached. And so we need them preached. This is our title deed. So you can't not follow this and then expect that you're going to have a clear conscience. That's why people who want to worship any way they want to worship can't have a true, clear conscience on it, because it's not according to the word, even though they might have convinced themselves of that. Praise God. We're getting close to closing here. Psalm 37. I want to get wrapping this up, but I wanted to get to these scriptures because they're so important to us. Amen? Psalm 37. We were there once today, right? Verse 3. We're going to read through... Praise the Lord. We're going to read through 5, verse 5. I love these scriptures. My daughter and I have been learning these scriptures to make sure that they're in us, because we have to understand this. Trust in the Lord and do good. There you see it again. Anyone who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Trust in the Lord and do good. That means sometimes it's not easy to trust or to do good, but you got to trust in God and do it anyway. Just trust God and do it anyway. This is what's right, and so I'm going to trust God and do it this way because it's right. Amen? You ever been faced with that? Maybe it's something you know that if you lied about, it would get you off the hook. But you got to trust God and do good. Why? Because otherwise you're going to enter in sin. You won't have a clear conscience. You got to trust God and do good. Now listen, if you've done a lot of screwing up, you can't confess and just say, I learned that once in my life. I had done a lot of screwing up, and I was like, well, I'm going to confess it, it'll all be better. It doesn't work that way necessarily. I mean, you can be right before God, but that doesn't mean you're going to be right before people. That's why we got to strive to be right before people. Without offense between God and before God and man, amen. So trust the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Amen. So we live where we're supposed to be at, feeding on his faithfulness. No matter what it looks like, we're just feeding on his faithfulness. God will always come through. What does it mean to feed on God's faithfulness? Listen, you will face times as you do the word. If you start tithing, you will face times where you have nothing. You will face times where it's always looking up, but what do? You dwell in the land, you feed on his faithfulness. His word says it, and he'll come through for me. And I know he will, because his word says it. So that's what I'm going to do. You'll face times where it's hard being a Christian. You'll be face times where you're persecuted. What do? You dwell in the land, and you feed on his faithfulness. You ain't got to feed on your ability. You ain't got to feed on your good feelings. You don't feed on anything else but his faithfulness. This is building something here, because people who learn to do this are people who are righteous because they think like God. Amen? Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself. You'll choose to be delighted about it. You know what? I'm just going to choose to be happy about this because, or happy about God because he's good, he's faithful. I'm just going to choose to delight yourself also in the Lord. Don't delight yourself in things because that's idol worship. That's covetousness. You understand? You guys, I hope you're making the connection here. Praise the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's pretty awesome. Amen? See, but this is a person who's thinking like God, who's after the things of God. You will start desiring things when you serve God. You'll start desiring things that are good. You'll start desiring things that are like way more good than you thought you deserved. You'll desire lots of things and you'll be like, do I even deserve that? Should I even have that? But see, because you're serving God, he'll give it to you. He'll tell you that it's for you. He'll bring it forth, amen? Because that's our God. That's how good he is. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way. That's consecrate your way. See, I'm following God no matter what. I'm going after what God has for me. I'm that's what I'm doing. Commit your way. It's committed. It's done. When husbands and wives commit, they're sold out to each other forever. There is no in between. There is no nobody else. Nothing. It doesn't matter. When you've committed, you've committed. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. Praise the Lord. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. I committed to my wife. Amen. Why did I do that? Because I wanted her forever. Praise the Lord. Now I get her forever, and she gets me forever because we committed to each other. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Lord, my way is, it doesn't matter if it gets shaken up along the way. Lord, it's your will. I'm following your plan. See, this is the greatest thing about following God's plan, because when it starts getting shaken up, you can just kick back and say, whatever, it's not my deal. Yeah. I learned that this week, and I really where I had been off in so many areas when I was seeking God, and I had all these things going, I was getting stressed out about stuff, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. It's because a minister said to me, somebody was talking to this minister, Kenneth Hagin, they said, weren't you stressed about Rhema and all this stuff that you were building? He's like, no, I didn't want to do it anyways. God told me to do it. He said, he's got to supply it. Man, that gives us a whole new spin on life. See, when you create your problems, when you start building your kingdom and you got all these things coming on, when stuff starts failing, you sit there and go, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's why you start worrying. But see, when God builds your kingdom, when you kick back in the Lord and you commit your way to him and he builds your kingdom, you sit back and you go, oh, wait, now I just get to watch his faithfulness. I just get to watch him come through. I don't know about you, but I just preach myself real happy because I just realized something. Wait a minute. If I just follow God's plan, I ain't got to worry about a stinking thing. There's nothing that I have to worry about anymore. This is what it means when Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to put on or what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat, where you're going to go. He said, God, aren't you better than the birds? God will supply all the seek first the kingdom of God. Commit your way to him and all these things shall be added to you. Your way will be clear. And even if something comes, you just be like, hey, Dad, something in the way here. Can't get beyond it. See, this is where prayer comes. Dad, something's in the way, and you said to go this way, and I went this way. There's something trying to stop me from going through. Unless you want me to go back, you just move it out all the way. Right. Guess what? He loves that faith. He comes in. And the devil can't. I mean, the devil is nothing to God. He ain't nothing to God. He really ain't nothing to you, but if you don't know that, at least know that he's not nothing to God. And as long as you've got God, you're good. Just go on. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14, we'll close with this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Praise God. Hallelujah. No trial will come against you that you can't get through. And not just get through, but come out on the other side looking stinking good. Hallelujah. That's what I like about it, is that God, when we do it in faith, we come out on the other side looking good. Hallelujah. I said we're looking good on the other side. No, let's not be those Christians. Oh, life, life, life. No, life and more abundantly. Glory to God.